Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Cole.
What up?
Turn the SEC mixtape, man.
You talking about Bonzo Show?
Yeah. See what they talking about real quick on these games.
All right, here we go. 4th and 18 for the Tigers. Here's your ball game. Nick Marshall stands in, steps up, going to throw downfield, just a home run ball, and it is tipped off. And Lewis got it on the reflection. Lewis is going to score. Touchdown, Auburn. A miracle in
third half. SEC mixtapes. Hosted by Bonzo.
The realest coverage in the South.
Monday night. Welcome to the show, SEC Mixtape. We got Billy Bad Whoopi, G. Willis. He'll be joining us shortly. Billy B, let's jump right into it, man.
Let's jump in.
What you got today, man? What you got,
Billy
Bad?
I'm just so excited about all the transfers and commitments that's coming down the pipeline right now. You know, LSU is jumping right in there. I mean, they kind of like in the lead for everything right now, I think. And Auburn has a lot of potential, but I'm looking at LSU with a lot of doggone commitments right now. They just landed a huge commitment from a running back out of Fort Myers, Florida. His name is Chris Curry, you know, 5-star kid. Ed Orgeron is, I mean, you know, you can say what you want. I know Les Miles did a lot of recruiting too, but Ed is getting his players in place.
Man, you know, I agree. I mean, shoot, man, Ed Orgeron had a pretty good dang on class last year, man, and this year, honestly. You know what, man? Let's really be honest, man. LSU and the state of Louisiana, I mean, it shouldn't be hard to recruit. It shouldn't be hard to recruit, but however, we have saw Nick Saban and Gus Malzahn go into the state of Louisiana and take the top-level talent. I think that was the biggest thing with the hiring of Ed Orgeron. It was because of his recruiting ability, and I think they really wanted him to,
right.
You know, kind of just put the fence around the state. And bring home
yeah,
the players.
Kid,
so
yeah.
And honestly, like you said, so far so good, man. He's been bringing home the bacon.
Yeah, this kid here, he's about 5'11", 200 pounds. As a junior, 1,158 yards and 13 touchdowns before he broke his that was just in 7 games before he broke his foot.
Damn.
So, you know,
man,
yes.
That's pretty good, man.
Speaking of recruits, though, Billy Bad, and it's just something that just ran across my screen, and I had to bring it up, man. But have you saw the recruit from Ohio State? Did you see
yes,
his T-shirt?
Yes, I did.
Okay, for everyone who's not hip to game on that particular T-shirt, I'm gonna pull a picture of the T-shirt up first because I want to read the quote directly. I don't want to, you know, misquote it. But it had a pretty big statement on it, a 4-star recruit. Let me see. I got it coming up right now. And the T-shirt said, "I hope I don't get killed for being black today." A lot of people took offense.
He was well-received in Ohio State.
I mean, he was well-received. I see that he was well-received at Ohio State, but if you look at the internet rambling, If you look at the internet rambling, there are a lot of people who have quite a bit to say about that T-shirt.
Of course.
What's your personal feeling about it, Billy Bat?
Well, my personal feelings about it, man, is just that, you know, anybody that opposes or strikes out real fast about anything about human dignity or human rights on any level, you know, that lets you know right there where their heart is at. You know, this kid, he went out, he used his five-star platform to go out about like Colin Kaepernick did in the pros and say, hey, look, you know, this is how I feel. I'm tired. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what rights you have to bear arms or whatever. But you have a right to get killed by the police, and still we see that there's nothing that's going to be done about it. I don't care how many marches you have. I don't care how many public figures you have come out. I don't care how many rap songs you make. It's not going to change. That's my feelings, though.
The fact that we're having this conversation, honestly, just really says everything about the T-shirt, man, in my opinion. You know, just like you said, man, I mean, it is what it is, no matter how you try to wrap it up, no matter how you try to look at it. It is what it is, and it's true. It's true.
We had a discussion, man, in the barbershop Saturday. I showed three videos of other than black. We had an individual get a shotgun out the truck, beg the police to shoot him and kill him. They took him down. They tackled him, held him down. That was in Virginia. And everybody, and I told people a long time ago, I say, I'm telling you, that doggone concealed weapon permit ain't going to do nothing but get you killed quicker. You know, the police pull up, they say, you having a gun? Yes, I have a concealed weapon. First thing they do is grab their gun. They don't talk to you like anybody else. We've seen two people get killed already, point blank, on video, just for admitting to having a concealed weapon. Right to bear arms. But do you hear the NRA speaking out on anything? They should be jumping up and down, stomping their feet and protesting right now. The NRA should be. Because this is everything that they say. Government can't come in and do whatever. But they're doing it. But it's only to a certain group of people. So it's okay.
Pretty much.
It'll be quiet.
Pretty much, man.
And I'm sorry, but you asked me a question that I had to give.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's, you know, it's the young man wearing that shirt, man, he spoke a very loud statement. And, you know, I can only think of one reason. Well, two reasons that he wore that shirt. One, to show, you know, how he felt about the situation. But another reason I think he wore the shirt is to let schools who are pursuing him know how he feels. You know, before you come recruiting me, before you come knocking on my door, I'm letting you know that this is how I feel about this situation. If you don't like it, don't recruit me. And
right.
I can respect that, man. I can respect that, especially with him being so young. You know, a lot of our youth really sell out really fast for opportunities. But this kid made an early stand, really, you know, voiced his opinion of how he felt. And as we know this. No one may not say it publicly. No school may come out and say, we've taken him off the list, off of our recruiting list because of that. No school
no,
will come out directly and say that. However,
and you know,
I know for a fact there's a significant amount of schools who've taken him off their recruiting board.
I know that.
I would love to.
I mean, they're not going to tell you.
I would love to get his parents on here.
I would love to have his parents on the show. I would love to have him on the show. But,
Tyreek Smith, you know.
What's his name? Ricky Smith?
No, Tyreek Smith. He's a five-star defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive end, defensive tackle.
Five stars. Well, hey, man. Well, there we go, man. I hate to veer off, but that was a subject that we really need to talk about. Honestly, that's one thing that this show is about. Like I say, I have a lot of respect for the young man saying it with his chest, sticking out and saying how he feels. There are a lot of adults who shelter and hide their feelings at work and in normal daily processes every day. You know, every day, they cover their mouths and they don't say how they really feel about things. They just continue to live. But this young man, I mean, at a very early age in his life, he let people know, hey, if you want to deal with me, if you want me to do business with you,
you're talking about
if you want me to go to your school,
18.
Yep, these are my feelings. These are my feelings. If you can't respect my feelings, please don't recruit me. He knew by wearing that T-shirt that something was going to be said about it. He knew it.
Hey, look.
He knew it.
And before he left camp, he had like 7 or 8 T-shirts for kids.
Wow, he was handing out T-shirts.
Yeah, his whoever made him up for him got a couple of more recruits, some T-shirts.
Now that is interesting. That is interesting, man. But you know what? Hey, man, it's the SEC. It's the SEC. Big time football. Need big time player. He's a big time player. He just happens to look at things differently than most people who attend a lot of these universities that the big time 5-star athletes commit to. So that's his feeling. That's his feeling. I respect it, man. But we were talking about recruits, Billy Bad, and man, since we were talking about LSU, man, and some recruit, man, do you mind if I talk about a few of their recruits from last year?
Go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
Got a little time from last year, man. Okay. And I'm just talking about because you spoke on Ed Orgeron, man, and I just really wanted to just kind of give people an idea of what he did last year. Okay. He only had one commitment from a 5-star player. That was Jacoby Stevens, a safety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. However, here's where he was strong at. He had 15 4-star commitments. 15 commitments from 4-stars, with majority of them being from where? None other than Louisiana.
Louisiana and Texas. Yep.
That's a big deal. That is a big deal. And let's don't forget, man, like that's a team that's loaded with talent, man. They're just loaded with talent. They have talent everywhere, and I think with the right person taking snaps, they'll be back. They'll be back sooner than later.
And let me tell you
a couple other commits.
And when you
go ahead.
And when you say 14 4-star commitments out of the state of Louisiana, you got to realize there's only so many 5-stars that's going to be handed out. So
yeah,
you can rest assured that some of those 4-stars are 5-stars in Alabama or Mississippi or you know Tennessee, places like that.
And you know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, D. And that's. I mean, he's doing a great job, man. He's doing a real great job, man. Auburn had a commitment today. It was a really important commit to Auburn. It was a really, really important commit. It's a 3-star athlete. But he's Bo Jackson's nephew. Shedrick Jackson, he's a 3-star. He's rated 3-star on some, 4-star on others. He's a wide receiver at Hoover. Really, really athletic kid. Really athletic kid. Is he the next Bo Jackson? There is no way I will say anything like that.
No.
However,
not at all.
Whenever you're talking about recruits, like legendary recruits, it's pretty important to be able to bring in their family members or that their family members really consider you heavily. So I think that was a pretty big recruit, big time get for Auburn, you know, closing that out. Shedrick Jackson, he had offers all over. He had offers at a lot of the SEC schools. He had offers at other SEC schools.
Here's the thing about those type of recruits, too. At Alabama, they have what they call the Bear Bryant scholarship. Whether you played sports or whatever, a descendant of yours could go to school there under that scholarship. So I'm pretty sure at Auburn, he's not wasting a football scholarship. He's going to play football, but he may not even be wasting a football scholarship.
His nephew?
Being Bo Jackson's nephew, as you say.
Yeah, well, hey, that's possible. But Auburn did offer him. He committed to Auburn today. Auburn's first commit in a couple weeks, I think, man. But that's pretty good. And commitment seemed to be moving pretty slow. It seemed to be moving pretty slow for
everybody. Yeah, it's pretty slow because they both teams are kind of loaded at a lot of positions. So they're young at a lot of positions, let me say that. So, yeah, recruitment, everybody don't understand, recruitment is going to be slow to that effect on those teams that's young. Young but talented, ain't got enough beef, you know what I mean? Enough older cats to pull everybody together, but athletic enough to compete with people.
Yeah.
That's the Clemson,
that's
the Alabamas, that's the Auburns, that's the LSUs, that's every year, you know.
Man, speaking of recruits, man, we had two more commitments in the SEC. We had a running back. Running back Anthony Grant. Committed to Tennessee. You know anything about him, Billy?
I tell you what, you know, we can say what we want to say about Jones, but he's steady pulling them in. He's steady pulling them in. We can, you know, every time, I mean, he's the most active person I see on Twitter. You know, he'll tweet. When a kid says he's coming in town, he'll retweet it. Birthdays, things like that, you know. And when they commit, man, he has them all decked out in that orange, and he retweets it. You know, and I pick at him. I say, yeah, how long he's going to stay? I never get a response. But, you know, I do pick at him. But, yeah, he picked up a big-time running back, you know.
He did, man. He did. But like you said, man, recruiting has never been his problem, man. Honestly, I get so – I'm like tired of saying it. I'm tired of saying it, but it's just true. It's true, man. The lack of decent quarterback play has bitten every single team in the SEC. It has bitten every single team in the SEC in one way or the other. And you know what? It's bitten every single team in college football. The play of the quarterback.
I'm looking like
just the most,
and I'm looking like I might eat crow with you with Jalen Hurts because I heard that I heard Peyton Manning say that he just wowed him and Skemp.
I mean, you know, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan, man. I think the kid is a straight up baller, and I'm man. Last year was his first year, man. It was his first year. Talk about out of the frying pan into the fire. So, you know, with a whole summer of working, man, I'm telling you, man, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson for the Heisman, one or the other.
Wow. What do you think about
and
I'm just, Simmons turning to West Virginia?
Man, you know what? That was interesting because I really thought he was going to get some run this year. Well, he was going to get some run this year.
He had a great spring.
Great spring game, man.
But
you know, after I read that he transferred, and that was something else. All that happened real quietly. I don't remember, you know, him being out looking for school. I just look up and hear, you know, he's transferring to West Virginia, which is interesting.
You know what I heard?
Because you always hear about this recruiting stuff where, you know, they're not supposed to talk to players who are under scholarship at another school, but evidently that is a rule that is ignored quite often.
I heard that that just shows me signs that Jerry Jeudy and the incoming freshman is the real deal.
Jerry Jeudy is the real deal, man. And, I mean, in my opinion, man, Bama going to be hard to beat this year, man. Bama going to be hard to beat. They're going to be hard to beat. Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts, Bo Scarborough, we talked about their running backs. You know, I can talk about that for hours on end, man. But hey, man, recruiting. That's what it all boils down to is recruiting. And I honestly think that's exactly what LSU was thinking whenever they hired Ed Orgeron. Like, recruiting is, if you have the Joes in place, that's what Nick Saban is great about. That is the one thing that he is the unquestionable king of college football in, is recruiting. You hear a lot of people talk about, you know, X's and O's, like how, you know, they can think of a few coaches who may be better at X's and O's and all that stuff. Yeah, but they don't recruit like Nick Saban. It's recruiting, man. It's recruiting. He's been stockpiling talent for the last ever since he's been there. There's been 5-star players who never touched the field. Never touched the field. Not because they couldn't play, but because a better recruit came in after them every single year. So
what's the kid, LSU is trying to do. What's the kid in is it Montgomery? He's coming in too. That's what I'm hearing. That's they say Jerry Jeudy and this kid is just on another whole level.
You said a kid out of Montgomery came in with the class last year?
No, he's coming in this year. He's not on campus yet. He's getting ready to get on campus.
Oh, okay. Well, man, I
5-star from. Dog. I'm sorry. I can't even think his name. But he won 100 meters in the state this year.
You talking about Henry Rhodes?
Yeah.
Henry Rhodes.
See, that's Henry another dog coming in.
Speed.
And they saying that him and Jerry Jeudy is the truth.
Well, Jerry Jeudy proved it, man. He proved it. He proved it in the A-Day game. He is truly a baller, man. The routes are just crisp. He's a baller. He's a baller, man. And like we said, the big thing with that, but I'm going to say this, man. I think you may have made the biggest statement today pertaining to Alabama football. And I'm not even going to lie. It shocked me, man. When you just told me that Peyton Manning said that he was wired by Jalen Hurts' throwing ability. Is there a bigger compliment on this planet for a quarterback? I mean, let's be honest. Seriously. If Peyton Manning gives you the head nod as a quarterback, who am I as a lowly radio host to say, hell no, Jalen Hurts can't throw worth the damn?
I'm going to tell you, somebody else that won that competition.
Who?
AJ McCarron won that competition too. So, you know.
Okay.
So, I mean, there, there it is, people.
Hey, look.
Y'all just heard it.
Let's talk about some coaches, man, around the conference.
Man, let's move on. Let's move on to some coaches, man. You know what? Kevin Sumlin, man. I'm not sure if there's a hotter seat in the SEC, but honestly, Kevin Sumlin has it. He got a his deal is a little worse than everyone else's right now. The only thing that could help Kevin Sumlin would be if Texas somehow bums this year. If Texas bums, because Texas just hired a new coach. They hired a new coach. We all know who he is. We all know what he's going to bring. If Texas starts thriving, in his first year, if Texas thrives within his first year, and Texas A&M is still kind of putting along like they've been doing here the last few years, I just don't see things ending well for Sumlin. However, I think Sumlin's going to be a great offensive coordinator for somebody. Well, how do you feel about that, man?
I'm telling you, I've told you every year they've been doing the same thing. Start off 5-0 and fight everybody, and then they just go downhill. 4-0, and then end up. How many games do they win? I don't think Texas helped him out this year at all, whether they win or lose, you know, because he was on the hot seat last year and Texas was struggling. You know what I mean?
But if Texas is winning, and I think that's one thing that's made people calm about it. You know, a lot of people don't know this, man, but Texas and Texas A&M, man, they are humongous rivals in the state, man. Texas A&M and Texas, they're the big boys, man. And if Texas is doing great, and both of them have been lackluster the last few years, neither one has done any. The best thing that's happened out of Texas in the last, I'm not going to say decade, but in the last 5 years was Johnny Manziel beating Alabama.
That's it.
That's the biggest thing that's happened. Before that, it was Alabama pistol whooping.
And it was only one
championship
year.
Game. That's it.
And it was only one
that's
year.
It. That is it, man.
But everybody's making it seem like Johnny Manziel. Everybody make it seem like Johnny Manziel stayed there 4 years. But that's what takes. That's what Sumlin rides.
Yeah, pretty much, man. But I honestly think, man, if Texas is doing well, putting up points, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be really hard for Sumlin to hide behind that. You know, even if he does lackluster, even if he wins 8 or 9 games, I'm not sure if that's going to be enough for him to keep his job, man. A lot of hot names out there right now. Texas A&M got a lot of money. They got a lot of bread at Texas A&M, man. And, man, I just think
speaking of hot
it ain't
names,
looking good for it, man. Huh?
Speaking of hot names, your guy, Bob Stoops, you were saying that you think he'll take a year off and be in the SEC. But I've seen – where he's running around with his brothers around the world like he's doing a bucket list. Did you see that today?
I did, man. But I do think, you know, like I said, I don't think he's done coaching, man. A lot of smoke. Evidently, he's talked to someone and said a couple things to kind of let the coaching world know that he's not done. That he's not done, man. So those rumors are swirling, man. But if he's doing bucket list stuff, man, I mean, good grief, man. All the money he has, you know, all those pesos. That I hope everything's okay with his health, man. I hope that he's just
I do too.
Going ahead and getting a lot of that stuff out of the way, so he can come back and coach.
to make me right.
Maybe so.
To make me right.
So.
But I just don't think he's done, man. I don't think he's done. But that, man, as far as coaching goes, this is an interesting year, man. You got Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly's out there. He's going to take one of these big jobs, man. He has to. He has to, and one of these jobs is going to be open. I'll tell you another one to watch, man. A couple coaches who are already in nice spots that could make a move in the SEC. One of those coaches, man, is Dan Mullen. I like what Dan Mullen has done at Mississippi State. We all know what Mississippi State was before he got there. The only thing significant I can think happened at Mississippi State before he got there was the year that Sylvester Croom beat Alabama and Auburn. This guy.
Come on. Huh?
There's not many people who can say this guy coached Mississippi State to be ranked number one in college football. I'm sorry. I never thought. When they hired Dan Mullen, no one could have ever told me that them hiring Dan Mullen, like one day that team was going to be ranked in the top five in the nation. I wouldn't have believed it. So, me personally, I think he's passed every test when it comes to a football program with flying colors.
I think Jolie Dunn did a better job than Dan Mullen did at Mississippi State. Jolie Dunn had the number one defense like every year he was there. He put more players in the league, I think, than Dan Mullen ever even thought about playing. I think they got up to around number three or four one year, but I know their defense was number one. They had, you remember the Smoots and all those guys, Fred Smoot.
I agree. I can't disagree with that. I can't disagree with those. But I think, man, what Dan Mullen has done. Tell me this, and tell me what you think about this, Billy. If Dan Mullen has done this at Mississippi State, what would he have been able to do at LSU, Georgia, Auburn?
I can't say that. I can't really say that because
we're talking
about schools who bring in
better players. They bring in better players year in, year out than Mississippi State. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Think about what he did at Florida's offensive coordinator.
What you're saying is if Chip Kelly would go to one of these schools, he would just dominate?
Go to one of what schools?
Any one of them. So you're saying that if Chip Kelly goes to one of these
schools, do I think he would dominate?
Yes.
No, I don't think he
compared
would dominate.
Compared to what he did at
I don't think he would dominate. But if he went to LSU, I think he would do better. I think Chip Kelly would do better at LSU than he would at Mississippi State.
All right, you take a Hal Mumme. Remember Hal Mumme when he was at Kentucky?
Yeah.
Do you know what their record was? They beat Florida that year. They beat everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It went like 10-1 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's still coaching. I mean, you have your spurts until people catch up with you. But I can't say that if he had this team or that team, you know.
I can't say that. I can say a coach increases his chances of winning more with better players. I can say that.
Yeah.
I can say that with confidence.
I mean, what happened to Bowden at the Auburn?
What happened to Bowden at Auburn?
Yeah,
explain.
He went undefeated and then he just
right. I mean, coaches have their seasons, man, where things, you know, they go up and go down. I mean, but I'm just saying, I think better players
stand a better chance
of winning with better players.
I say drastically down. We're not talking about just down, not a down year. We're talking about, you know, drastically.
I mean, Gene Chizik.
What do you think? Well, tell me this.
Drastically down.
About,
he went
He went from winning the national championship to not winning the SEC game.
Who won the national championship?
Gene Chizik?
I ain't talking about Gene. You say Gene. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about Gene Chizik. I'm saying Gene Chizik had a great year, went undefeated. When his players declined, what happened?
Yeah. What do you think about Butch? Butch Jones get the top players all the time.
Okay.
So what you think about
Butch? I'm saying if Butch Jones can't win with top players, I know he can't win with bottom players. If he can't win with the top dog, I know what's gonna happen if he goes to Chattanooga. He gonna get his ass drilled week in and week out. That's serious, man. Like a lot of these, like I say, Nick Saban, man, the thing that recruiting is a big deal. That's what Nick Saban has that nobody has. That's what he has. Lane Kiffin done so well at Alabama, not because Nick Saban was standing over him, not because he was scared of Nick Saban. Lane Kiffin did so good at the University of Alabama because he had the best tools in the country. The best tools in the country.
So you tell me Butch Jones.
Lane Kiffin's offense, everybody's been talking about how genius Lane Kiffin is, how he was raising his hands in the touchdown position before the play even started. Let's see how many times he raised those hands at Florida Atlantic.
I think his offense still going to put up crazy numbers.
You know
his
what,
offense
man?
Still going to put up crazy numbers.
They may put up crazy numbers within their conference. They may put up crazy numbers within their conference. You know, he has a really good quarterback, in fact. He got transferred from Florida State. They may put up amazing numbers within their conference, man. But he doesn't have the depth that running back. He doesn't have a running back for every recipe like he had at Bama. We need a power.
He don't
back.
Run the
we
ball.
Put in both Starbucks.
We
need
a
finesse back. Huh? You say
he's
not going to
run the
ball?
No. You fail to realize. Do you remember the score that Tennessee and Alabama played? Do you remember the score when Tennessee and Alabama played that last year that Lane Kiffin was there? It was very competitive. I mean, Alabama defense just eventually shut him down. Yeah. I mean, he's going to put up points.
But
it just
depends
on who his
defense
coordinator is.
You know what Lane Kiffin had at Tennessee? SEC caliber players. Tennessee has never had a recruiting problem. Top recruits, man. Tennessee has never had a recruiting problem, man. And I have a lot of respect for Hugh Freeze and Dan Mullen. I respect both of those cats. Dan Mullen a little more right now because it seems as if he did it the right way. And Hugh Freeze got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. But, I mean, we're talking about these guys are getting big-time recruits, or better recruits. Well, in Ole Miss' case, Ole Miss had some great recruiting classes, man. Mississippi State has lingered around 30 to 50 when it comes to recruits, and Dan Mullen continues to compete. He competes, man. He competes. He's had great years. When Dak was there, no one can say anything negative about the development of Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, man, I mean, that cat, I mean, look at him. Look at him. Look what he did going straight into the Dallas Cowboys, man. And that had a lot to do with Dan Mullen, man. You know, Dan Mullen. Tebow didn't make it in the NFL, but he was the best college quarterback, I saw since Tommy Frazier.
He was the best college athlete, period, to me. if you ask me. And, that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, you.
I
what
mean,
can you say?
I put
him
up.
Say nothing. I can't argue.
I mean, I love both, but I'm talking about winning wise. I have to
and the
give.
Body
I have to
of
go
work.
To people. Yeah.
The body of work. The body of work he done, man. And Dan Mullen played a really big part in that when he was at Florida, man. When he was at Florida, Dan Mullen really, you know, groomed Tebow. And I'll say this too. Now that we see that Gus Malzahn can't coach a quarterback at all, Dan Mullen was possibly responsible for Cam Newton. The only other quarterback training Cam Newton had before he started at Auburn, other than high school, was the JUCO. And we all know what he did in the JUCO. He just did whatever the hell he wanted to do. So Dan Mullen had a lot to do with it. So we're talking about Cam Newton, Tim Tebow,
Cam Newton,
Dak Prescott.
Cam Newton, hey,
Dan,
if you Google doggone Cam Newton, junior JUCO, I like it. Damn sure look like Auburn.
I'm telling you, man. He just he did what he wanted, man. But Dan Mullen has touched all those cats, man. He's been touching quarterbacks, and he produces, man. This cat he has over there right now. Either he's a great evaluator, one of the best quarterback evaluators in the game, and he is. I can't take that away from him. He is. He's one of the better quarterback evaluators in college football right now. Dan Mullen is. And he's proved it.
Wow.
Who heard of the Fitzgerald kid before last year? The Fitzgerald kid taking snaps at Mississippi State. And all
hey,
he did was completely lit up the whole SEC. I mean, they didn't win a whole bunch of games, man. But what the kid did was pretty dang on impressive, man. So I know y'all tired of me. And I wish G. Willis was on here right now because he can't stand for me to give Mississippi State any props. But, I mean, I got to give Dan Mullen. I'll ask you this, G. If Dan Mullen had the same exact talent at Auburn right now, if he had the same talent that Auburn had, do you think he'd coach him to a better record than Gus Malzahn?
Do you think?
If you had to pick one of these, Dan Mullen or Gus Malzahn, to coach this Auburn team right now.
So you asking me
mm-hmm.
if he had the same talent at Auburn, at Auburn, if he was coaching Auburn, do I think
mm-hmm.
South Alabama beat them? That's what you're asking.
Hey, feeling bad you got me sold in, homie. Hey, I forgot about that, man. I forgot about the South Alabama game. That did happen. He did shit his pants. he did. I forgot about that, man. But, you know, other than, man, Mississippi State, and that was a big one right there. That was a big crap hole right there, man. He did crap his pants.
You.
Big time.
Yeah.
He did. That was a big one. You shut me up then. I ain't going to say nothing else about Dan Mullen. He did lose to South Alabama last year.
And in other news,
you can't judge him off that game because Nick Saban did lose to Louisiana Monroe, and we all know that's a bag of crap. That's a bag.
And in
of
other
crap.
News,
that was a bag of crap. Yeah.
And in other news, Will Muschamp.
Man, Will Muschamp just got a big time recruit, man. Will Muschamp,
yes, he did.
Who was the guy? He got a linebacker in, man.
Yeah, he got a linebacker. What's his name?
The Sky Moore.
His name.
And Muschamp. That's one I just never really understood the hiring, you know, but. He seems to be.
He seems to be doing pretty good.
Muschamp recruits pretty good, man. He does pretty good.
He got him a 4-star quarterback this week, and he got a linebacker.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, Muschamp proves good, man. He always has.
Yeah, but he's gonna have to. I mean, especially he competing with Clemson, you know. You know,
he competed with Clemson, Georgia.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the harder jobs in the SEC, the South Carolina job. It really is, man. It really is. The state doesn't produce a lot of big time athletes every year, and like you said, they're competing with Dabo Swinney, who's, he's a top five coach, top three coach in college football right now. Top three.
Bonzo, I just got a text. I had two LSU ex-players was going to call in, but they're currently watching the LSU-Florida baseball game. So that's what I just got text.
Man, you know, that's a big deal, too. You know, LSU, the LSU-Florida baseball game. Is this a rematch, right? Did they play for the World Series last year? Who played for it last year? I think this may be a rematch, man. I could be wrong.
Sure.
I could be wrong, man. But I know LSU. And LSU baseball is a really big thing at LSU. You know how
that's what's bringing their money for real.
Yeah, baseball brings in a lot of dough for LSU, man. And they continue. They look like it. They look like it. They produce like baseball is important at LSU. They're there. They're in the conversation for the World Series every single year. Every single year, they're in that conversation for the World Series.
Yep. Damn it.
I tell you what, man. I want to talk about a couple teams in the SEC, man. That I think might shock a few people this year, man. I think they might shock a few people, but I could be wrong. But I know they'll be better than last year, man. Since we were talking about one of the Stoops guys, man, Kentucky has been on everyone's lips. A lot of people talking about Kentucky. Kentucky, a very dangerous team. I've even heard some people say that they feel like if Kentucky can split between Georgia and Florida, if they can split the games between Georgia and Florida, like win one and lose one, that Kentucky may be in the conversation to win the SEC East. To win the SEC East, if they can split the games between Florida and Georgia. I was looking at their schedule, and I can kind of understand, you know, why people have that feeling. I can kind of understand it, but it's Kentucky. It's Kentucky, man. And we used to see in Kentucky do basketball, but when it comes to football, we just not used to seeing Kentucky where they are right now. But Kentucky has they have some really good players on defense, man. And some players on offense who are just dangerous. They're just straight up dangerous, man. They don't have a soup. They're not super deep, but they have good coaching. They have a good secondary. They have a very, very decent secondary, man. And I mean, they're in the SEC East. We saw Missouri. Let's don't forget, we saw Missouri win the SEC East 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row, we saw Missouri win the SEC East. That right there, it says to me, man, that Kentucky might be able to pull it off, man. They got eight returning starters on offense, eight returning starters on defense. They got a lot of playmakers, man. They got some playmakers, but they don't have playmakers. They have spotty playmakers, but their playmakers are actually good enough, man, to cause anybody problems if things get clicking, man. Don't forget last year, Boone Williams. Man, Kentucky beat Louisville last year. And I mean, Kentucky put up 41 points on Louisville last year, man. Kentucky beat Vanderbilt last year. Kentucky beat South Carolina last year.
Huh?
They were pretty competitive.
I'm gonna go through their schedule. I'm gonna go through Kentucky's schedule real quick, Billy. And you tell
go
me
ahead.
How you see it going. Southern right. Miss. They win.
Kentucky.
All right. Eastern Kentucky.
Win.
South Carolina.
Where they playing at?
Florida. They playing at South
Where
Carolina.
They playing at? It's in South Carolina.
You talking about Florida? They playing at South Carolina.
No.
You think they lose that one?
I'm gonna go Kentucky anyway. I'm gonna go Kentucky anyway.
Okay, go Kentucky. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Go just for the hell of it. Florida.
I'm gonna go Florida on that one.
Okay, Eastern Michigan.
Where they play Florida at?
They play Florida at Kentucky.
Wow.
Exactly.
I'm gonna say they grow some.
Exactly.
They grow
you know, that's dangerous.
And win that game. But check this
okay.
out.
Uh-huh.
Then they're going to lose to Eastern Michigan.
And that's going to be funny. That's going to be funny if it happens.
Yeah, everybody laughs.
Okay,
everybody laughs, but go look at Eastern Michigan team.
I know. And I know what you're talking about. I know.
Yeah.
Missouri.
Oh, they dog walk Missouri.
Mississippi
Missouri is—they gone, dude. They gone.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mississippi State.
Where they playing?
At Mississippi State.
I believe they feeling themselves about this time, and I think they beat Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee. And let's think about Tennessee at that time. Unless Tennessee is having a very, very good season, they're playing Tennessee right at midseason where Butch Jones knows whether he's going to lose his job or not if he hasn't been fired throughout the season.
Hey, look.
Huh?
I think Butch Jones lose his job Monday after that game.
The funny thing is, wow. I'm right. Seriously. Ole Miss.
Yeah. Ole Miss.
At Vanderbilt.
At Vandy. That's a
yeah, at
fight.
Vandy.
They got him last year, I think. Kentucky got Vanderbilt last year, right?
That's right.
I think that's their rivalry. I think Vandy get them this year.
Okay. And at Georgia.
I'm going to go Georgia.
Me too. And Louisville at Kentucky.
Louisville?
At Kentucky. And
I'm going to go Louisville.
Kentucky beat Louisville last year.
I know it. So what did I give them? Four losses?
You only gave them two losses so far.
Huh? I gave him Vanderbilt. I gave him.
You gave Eastern Michigan and Vanderbilt. I'm telling you, man, that their schedule.
I gave him Georgia,
for them.
I gave him Georgia.
Yeah, you said Georgia. You did say Georgia. That's three. Yeah, that's three. You did say Georgia.
And Louisville.
And you know what? That still only gives Kentucky, two losses in the SEC East. Okay, we have a caller. I'm going to take this call in. Who we have?
Hello, how we doing?
Caller. We're doing pretty good.
This is Jerome Morgan.
Hey,
this is Jerome Morgan. This is Jerome Morgan.
What's going on,
What's
Jerome?
Going on, man? Everybody doing all right?
Everybody doing pretty good, Joe.
Good.
What you
hey,
got
listen.
For us today, brother?
How much pressure, man, is on Kentucky's coach in relationship to Tennessee's coach? They've been calling for these guys' head for about three or four seasons now. And, you know, who's got the most pressure, man, when you look at those two teams?
Man, I personally think Tennessee has all the pressure, man.
one thing about coaching at the University of Kentucky, coaching football at the University of Kentucky, after football season, the basketball team makes everybody feel better. That's just it. I mean, after football, the basketball team make everybody feel better. Everybody go buy their Kentucky gear. Everybody got a lot of Kentucky pride. Everybody jumping up and down. So he's safe. Basketball is the main course at Kentucky. Tennessee, on the other hand, Bus Jones has no excuses at all. None whatsoever. He has the recruits in play. He has the best of the best. He has his quality of players are as good as any team in the SEC, not named Alabama. That's it.
Wow.
Well, here's the thing. Like Bonzo said, Calipari is at Kentucky to make the whole school feel better. Bruce Pearl is in Auburn now. So, and not only that, there's a Stoops that's coaching football in Kentucky, so his pedigree is in stone. He ain't going nowhere. But
yeah, okay.
Bus Jones, man, he's scared right now. He listening to the show right now. And he has no excuse. He gets top recruits every year and don't do anything with them but run them off.
And hey man, it just ain't looking good for him, man. It ain't looking good for him. But he continues, like you said, he continues to pull in the big time recruits. He Bus Jones. I think he bit
Drone
off a big piece of cake. Yeah.
Hey, you say your name was Drone?
Uh huh.
See, you called in and you asked about the right two coaches because I just said on Monday after they play Kentucky, that's when that's when Bus Jones getting fired.
Man,
mark that down. Mark that down.
I'm gonna mark that down.
I'm telling you, man. Kentucky has a linebacker, and y'all listen to this. His name is Jordan Jones. Jordan Jones will play in the NFL. They have a cornerback. I mean, they are, man.
They have a running back.
I would not want to pay. Boom Williams, man. And Kentucky, they're just one of those teams, man. A lot like I would compare them to, like, Georgia Tech. You know, Georgia Tech is a well-coached football team. And if what they're doing is working, if they get a little confidence, man, you're in trouble. You are in some serious trouble if they get a little confidence, man. I think Kentucky has a lot of confidence. They got good coaching. They got good players in place, man. I think Bus Jones.
Yeah, I'm still here. Hey, man.
Hey, Billy. Yeah.
Hey.
But I just don't think I'm not sure, man. I'm Kentucky. I think he's safe. Okay, Jerome dropped off, Billy. But we got five more minutes in the show, Billy Bad. Man, Billy.
Yo, I'm here, buddy.
Yeah.
Something happened
to
the phone, though.
Five more minutes in the show. Yeah, I see it. It's going out, man. Something's going on, but a few technical difficulties, man. But I think we on something with Kentucky right there, man. I just looked at their schedule, and I just really feel like they got a great opportunity. Well, man, that's the show for today. We appreciate everyone who tuned in. Y'all know how we do. We just cover football, talk a little noise, man. Y'all come join us at SECMixtape.com. Follow us on Twitter. I'm SEC Mixtape at Twitter. We got Billy Bad at on Twitter. Go see G Willis at Twitter. And just come check us out. We got a lot going on this summer, a lot going on, a lot planned for the upcoming football season. And we appreciate you guys listening to the show. Billy Bad, what you got for them?
Hey, look, man, I'm going to tweet out the show in the morning to everybody. Going to get Jamel to critique this, so you know, I told her I hit her up on Twitter and she said she'll critique it. She said she's gonna let us know if it's garbage. So
So I said, hey, come on with it. I said, because this ain't First Take. This ain't First Take, and this ain't At the Six. It's Barbershop Talk.
that's and this is what we do, man. This is what we do, man. All right, y'all. That's going to be it for us. We'll see y'all on Wednesday. And we out.
Peace out. Peace.